This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The People's Republic of China is, as of today, 70 years and 3 days old. Monday was the actual anniversary. It's also the impetus for our China correspondent Jennifer Pak's series built around something that President Trump says all the time, that Beijing is winning big in the U.S.-China trading relationship. So Jennifer set off to find some of the people doing all that winning. We've heard from a migrant factory worker, her son, who chose a different path, and today, her brother. Here's Jennifer.
At a busy restaurant in Beijing, over a meal of Peking duck, Tylee Jun tells me about the water treatment company he runs and how his path to the nation's capital wasn't easy. He grew up in central Henan province, where his parents survived by planting cotton in their village.
On weekends and holidays, my brother and I had to spray pesticides on the cotton fields. Each container of pesticide weighed some 40 pounds, and we had to empty 30 containers in a single morning.
If he wanted to escape that work and leave the countryside, he had two choices: work in factories or go to college. He chose to study hard and was accepted into university in 1994.
There were about 300 households in our village, and I was the first to go to university.
And he seems set for life. Under China's planned economy at the time, universities decided where graduates would work. When Tylee Jun finished an engineering degree in water management, he was sent to work at a state-owned firm in Beijing. His salary was some $90 a month.
That was barely enough to cover my expenses. I tried to make my money stretch by spending less than 30 cents a meal on things like stir-fried shredded pancakes.
Tylee Jun says he wanted to make more money, and the time was right. China's Communist Party was speeding up economic reforms. In 2001, the country joined the World Trade Organization, and trade with the rest of the world took off.
Those of us born in the 70s really reaped the benefits of China's rapid growth. In the early 2000s, it felt like whatever we did, if we worked hard, we'd make good money.
So Tylee Jun left the security of a government job and went into the private sector. His gamble paid off. In 2005, he started his own water treatment business, bought his first car and apartment. Unlike his sister, who worked in shoe factories, he was able to sign his kids up for school in the city.
The state-owned firm I worked for helped me register in Beijing.
He was among the lucky ones. The schools in the capital are some of the best in China. At a pizza restaurant, I meet his youngest, 9-year-old Doris. She's had extra tutoring in English since she was 4 and a half. It costs $2,800 a year, the equivalent of 5 months' wages in a factory. Her mother, Wang Suyun, says school is very competitive.
Most of her classmates have tutoring in English, advanced math, and calligraphy classes, and they also learn a few musical instruments.
Wang Suyun, like her husband, left her parents behind in the village. Many of her neighbors did the same to come and work in cities, but they send money back. And that's transformed the countryside.
Almost every family has built a two-story home. My village finally has running water, electricity, and paved roads.
What hasn't changed much, even after 70 years of development, is the lack of opportunity for young people in the countryside, says her husband, Tylee Jun.
The gap between the village and the city keeps getting wider. There's no life in the rural areas because all the young people have left.
His eldest daughter now attends a top university in Beijing, and he hopes both his children will stretch their horizons as he did. He saved up just in case his daughters want to continue their studies abroad, maybe in the U.S. In Beijing, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.